Please take your Bibles tonight and look with me to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter number 11, please. We're going to look at Brother Noah tonight. Man, I have done a lot of reading and studying on Noah. The Lord gave me recently gave me many messages on his life and about his story. And we want to look at something about Noah tonight. Hebrews chapter number 11, I want to begin reading to you with verse number 1. Let me ask you to stand with me, please, in respect to God's Word. Stretch your legs a little bit and get you all nice and perked up for the message tonight. Hebrews chapter number 7, and listen to verse number 1. We'll begin reading down to verse number 7. The Bible says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." That verse teaches us what faith is. You don't have to wonder what faith is. The Bible tells us what it is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then he gives us illustrations, helping us to see it clearer. "For by it," talking about faith, "the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Verse number 7 is my text verse. The Bible says, by faith. What is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The Bible says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. And then notice the words, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. You know, fear is a motivator. It really is. We were having youth camp. I'm going to tell you a story. I haven't forgot that you're standing, all right? We were having youth camp down at Mount Salem Revival Grounds, and we had a crazy time going on. We were doing before the preaching service was to start. And I'll explain the crazy time to you. We had a 2x12 on the platform about 6 feet long. It was sitting on two bricks, one brick on each end of the 2x12. We got some volunteers and sent them out. We told the crowd what we were going to do. This is what we were going to do. We were going to bring in the kids one by one. None of them were going to know what was going on. We were going to bring them. We were going to show them the 2x12. We were going to say, listen, we're going to blindfold you. We're going to step you on this 2x12. And then we're going to raise you up. The higher you go, the greater a chance you have of winning. The only way you're going to know how high you are is you're going to have two men in front of you to put your hands on. And when you feel them going down, you know the board's coming up. And when you feel like you're high enough, then you say stop, and then you have to jump off. But there's a catch to it. The catch is two guys lift up the board, and they only lift it up barely off the bricks. The two guys that they have their hands on their shoulders are just squatting down at the same time like this. And as they're going down, because you are suspended in air on that board and you can feel that you're not stable, you can't tell. You can't tell that you're not going up. It feels, you have the sensation that you are going up. As these guys are squatting down simultaneously, it gives you the sensation that you are being lifted up into the air that high. So that was the plan. Now, we all know what's going on. They don't have any idea. So we bring them in here, tell them what's going on, blindfold them, they get on. And you know how teenage guys are. When they're before girls, I mean, they'll just about kill themselves to make it look like they are not afraid and they can handle anything. Man, so the first guy that got on there, I mean, he was like perfect for it, man. We blindfolded him, told him what was going on. He got on the board. And man, they lifted him up. And boy, as soon as they lifted him up, these men began to go down. And the faster you go down, I mean, it just like, it shocks you. Because, I mean, they feel like they are 3, 4, 5 feet in the air. I mean, if they get, those guys are squirting, squatting way down. And if you do it toward the end, I mean, they can go way, way down toward the edge of the platform, the way our platform is set up. So, man, they get this thing going. This guy's up there, and, man, he's blindfolded, and, boy, they pick it up. And as soon as they pick it up, these guys start going down. And, man, are you high enough? No, higher and higher. About the time he gets right here, he thinks he's about 4 foot in the air. I mean, he just starts shaking. Whoa. And, I mean, man, he's just up there. The entire crowd is there about to bust a gut, man. It looks so funny because he thinks he's this high when he's actually only this high. Now we're saying, okay, and the whole crowd is saying, jump, jump. And I mean, it is psyching a person out. Now they're expecting, I mean, they're expecting like, you know, like, but it's not like that. Now his body is ready for that fall, but all he hits is about this much. And when he does, it just every single time, man, they'll hit that little step like that and they will just fall down because their knees are not ready for it to be that close. And the whole crowd busts up laughing. And, you know, it's always fun to laugh at somebody else's expense. Amen. Nobody gets hurt. But what happens is that fear takes over. Even though they want to go higher and they have all, I mean, listen, some of them, man, I mean, they say, I'm going all the way to the top. You know, I'm going up 6 feet. I don't care how tall these guys. They were 8 foot giants. I'm going up. But boy, when all of a sudden you get that sensation, they start chickening out. Whoa, wait. Maybe we better think this over. There comes a time in our lives when fear takes over. It takes over in our decision making. It takes over in our logic. It overrides all emotion. Fear. The Bible talks about Noah being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house. I want to preach a message tonight that I've entitled Fear Factor. All right? Let's pray together, shall we? Father, thank you so much for your goodness to us. And Lord, I pray that you'd use this message to our lives tonight. I'm thankful, Lord, for everybody that's here. And Lord, I know they put forth an effort to be here. And Lord, I know it's not any special thing that we're here. We ought to all be here because we're your children, Lord. And Lord, it's time for church. But Lord, I do pray because they are here that you'd give them something special and encourage them. And Lord, stir their hearts. Thank you, Lord, for the testimony of Calvary Baptist. Continue to bless and work with this church in a wonderful way and give them fruit that abounds. Bless our service tonight. Thank you, Lord, for giving me this wonderful privilege to be the preacher of the hour. We ask all of these things in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. I want you to be seated. Thank you very much. Move with fear. The Bible says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house. Fear was the factor that moved Noah to do something never that anyone ever was called upon to do ever before and ever since. He was moved with fear. I think it was probably late September, maybe early October. I was home from some revival meetings and I was trying to get caught up on my chores around the house. Man, sometimes we just go so much and man, it takes me a couple of days just to replace the burnout light bulbs in the house, you know, when you're traveling all the time. And I was home and I was trying to get ready to get some of my chores done, and it was about time where it seemed like the hot weather was over with pretty much. So I was going to take the window units out of the windows and store them for the winter time. And I had a little small air conditioner window unit in this little back office that is a secretary office at the end of my porch. And it was no problem. I could handle it. It was a little bulky, but not bad at all. But there was a big window unit in the front of our house. It really we use it to cool the entire downstairs. And it's a big old giant. It's bulky and it's heavy. I don't know how much it weighs. I would probably guess it weighs about 75, maybe 80 pounds. I mean, it's a heavy air conditioner. Now, I can handle it, but to be honest with you, I don't really like to mess with it because it's so big you can't really get your arms around it so you really feel secure when you have it. I just don't like to carry it. And I hooked up a little trailer to my four-wheeler, and I backed up the four-wheeler to the driveway, and I was going to have to carry it probably about 20, 25 feet from where I was to take it out to where it needed to go. And man, I'm telling you what, I just didn't feel like carrying that big old heavy air conditioner. And I've been knowing that I just need to buy me one of those hand trucks, you know, those dollies. But I just never stopped to do it. And man, I'm taking these air conditioners out, and man, I can handle that little one. But man, I just don't feel like carrying this big one. I get my wife, Kim, to help me get it out of the window. When I'm holding up, she raises the window up, and then I took it out and set it on the porch. Man, I'm just like looking, what in the world can I use? What can I use? Man, I looked over on our porch, and my little boy Joel, he's 9 years old. A couple of years ago, we bought him a Spider-Man backpack. That old Spider-Man, he's something else, isn't he, kids? Man, I tell you what, that guy, he's just something else. And Joel has this little Spider-Man backpack, and in that backpack is a little bitty short skateboard. It looks like to me it would be a perfect skateboard that you could use to break your neck on. I mean, man, it's just a little short one. It looks like, I mean, it's a headache just waiting to happen. Man, I got to thinking about that, and I said, you know, I believe I can use that little short skateboard to move this air conditioner. So, man, I tell you what, you can tell I was desperate, man. I did not want to have to pick up that heavy thing. So I lifted it up on the edge, and I put that little short little Spider-Man skateboard underneath that air conditioner, and then I let it down, and then I balanced it. And I'm telling you, I'm talking about as easy as pie, I rolled that air conditioner over to my trailer, and then all I had to do was just pick it up and set it on the trailer. Man, you're talking about shouting, brother. I said, man, praise the Lord. Man, glory to God. I'm going to get this thing bronze plated and hang it up in my office or something. That thing is a blessing. In other words, I was able to move that heavy, heavy air conditioner with that little bitty skateboard. The Bible says that Noah was moved with fear. Now, I really love to study words. To study the definitions of words is like eating ice cream. I'm telling you what, I feast on it. I enjoy it, learning about words. And when I read the definition and started studying this word, moved, what caught my attention was that Noah was moved with fear. And you know, there comes a time in our life when something needs to move us. No doubt there are people here even tonight. You live a nominal Christian life. You live a very average Christian life. And something, I'm telling you, something has got to come down the line that's going to provoke you to get better than that. And evidently it seemed like fear was the factor that God used to move Noah from where he was to what he needed to be. That word moved, it means to impel, it means to carry, to convey or to draw from one place to another. It means to cause to change place or posture in any matter or by any means. Here's some examples that the old Webster's Dictionary 1828 gives. The wind moves a ship. The cartman moves the goods. The horse moves a cart. Mere matter cannot move itself. Machines are moved by springs, weights, or force that is applied. With that in mind, the Bible says, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. What did he do? The Bible says he prepared an ark to the saving of his house. moved. Our text verse teaches us that men are moved by certain factors, and here we find that Noah was moved by the fear factor. And as I began to think about this thing and look at it and run some cross references on it, I found out that there were other factors that moved men in the Bible, positive, some of them negative. Listen to what it says about Jesus. Mark chapter 14, verse number 14. Matthew chapter 14 and verse 14. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and He healed their sick. How about Mark chapter 1, verse 41? And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth His hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. Mark chapter 6 and verse number 34, and Jesus, when He came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And He began to teach them many things. Matthew chapter 9, verse number 36, but when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Listen, whether you want to get moved with fear or get moved with compassion, I really don't care what factor that you want to use that God will use to motivate you, but I'm telling you, something has got to come along in a person's life that moves them from where they are to where they need to be. Something has to happen that's going to get us out, knock us out of mediocrity and knock us out of being nominal. And evidently the factor that God used in the life of Noah was fear. It also is used in a negative sense. The Bible says in Matthew chapter number 20, verse number 24, the mother of Zebedee's children, she requested of Jesus for her sons, James and John, to sit on His right hand, His right and left hand side in heaven. And when the other disciples heard this mother request that of Jesus for her sons, the Bible says, and when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. And that word indignation means extreme anger mingled with contempt, disgust, or abhorrence. It was something that moved these men to an emotion, to an action, and it was because they were moved to indignation, an anger, a disgust because of this request of this particular woman here, their mother. In Acts chapter 7, verse number 9, staying with this word moved, the Bible says, and the patriarchs moved with envy. What did they do? They sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him. So you see, there are other factors that move men, but we're particularly looking tonight, we're looking at this fear factor. The Bible says that Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. It's amazing what can move people. Back in the early 60s, there was a woman by the name of Madeline Murray O'Hare. She became so convinced that public prayer in our schools would hurt the minds of children. So she, moved by this belief, single-handedly influenced the United States court system to make it unconstitutional to pray in schools. Now, that's recently been battled, and there have been a lot of cases won, but there are still a lot of school leaders in public education today that are intimidated by organizations because of prayer in schools. But one woman moved with this bent idea swayed the entire court system in our land. Now, concerning Noah, we learn about him in Genesis chapter number 6, verse number 7 and 8. They teach us that the Lord had looked down from the portals of glory, and He strictly and firmly examined the character of every single person living on the face of the earth. And then He pronounced it universally corrupt. The Bible says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. But when his eyes, the eyes of the Lord, when they fell upon Noah, God smiled. Verse number 8, the Bible says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Isn't that a wonderful verse? Amen. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, I didn't even think about it as I was meditating and praying over my message tonight. But remember, there's only one way to get grace, and that's to humble yourself. And evidently, Noah was a very humble man. He listened to what God said. He didn't think that he had an angle on the truth. And he submitted himself, and he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It's just the way the Lord looks at us when we're humble, when we're not so proud and arrogant and so stiff-necked and stiff-backed and stiff-kneed. Amen? Noah found grace. And you want to find grace? You humble yourself. Amen? God speaks to you, you humble yourself. You listen to what God wants, and you'll find grace. Amen? Grace, by definition, is the God-given desire, the God-given power to do the will of God. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, the Word of God tells us that the Lord explained to Noah what was about to happen and why it was going to happen. The Lord God told Noah how he would provide divine protection in the ark during the midst of judgment for him and his family and the animals. The Lord told Noah exactly how the ark was to be built, told him that this boat would protect him and his family and the animals from the worldwide flood that God would send upon the earth at His appointed time. In spite of what his eyes told him, and I don't think he had ever seen rain up to this point, that's why the Bible says Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, he had never seen rain before. In spite of what his eyes told him, he had never seen rain before. In spite of the long time he had to wait, 120 years building the ark, in spite of his loneliness and rejection by men, yet Noah believed God. Amen? Noah believed God. Now take careful note. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. Notice, moved with fear. What did he do? He prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. I'm telling you, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. The Bible says he was moved with fear, just like you would move a seized lug nut with a cheater pipe, or you would move a mountain of dirt with a gigantic bulldozer. Noah was moved with fear. I mean, just like the mechanisms of a clock are moved with delicate springs, Noah was moved with fear. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. What I'm saying to you tonight, my friend, something has got to come along that is going to move us, that's going to take us to another place. Something has got to come along that's going to move us to a life of consecration, to a life of dedication, to a life of motivation, to a life of devotion, to a life of service, to a life of sacrifice. Noah was warned of God, and it moved him. Fear moved him to prepare an ark to the saving of his house. It's amazing what moves men. Fear is an incredible motivator. There was a man back in England by the name of Robert Raikes back in the mid-1700s. He was a very successful newspaper editor. His name was Robert Raikes. He wrote in a paper called the Gloucester Journal. And one day this editor was asked to condemn some actions of some rowdy boys in a certain section of town. So this man, Mr. Raikes, he went to the scene, to the trouble spot, to get first-hand knowledge of what was taking place. And when he saw what was taking place, he became very burdened over these young boys because of the hard labor, the long working days, and the difficult jobs that children were required to hold up to during this time. education of children in England back in this day was a luxury that was only affordable to the wealthy people. But Robert Raikes felt that these boys, like every boy, deserved an opportunity to learn how to read. So this man, Robert Raikes, he hired four teachers to teach these boys the Bible. The first classroom that these boys received their first lesson in was the kitchen of a lady by the name of Mrs. Meredith. Amen. I can't think of a better place to teach a boy than a kitchen table. Amen. And that's where they received their first Sunday school lessons. The classes were held at 10 o'clock every Sunday. There was a break at noontime. And then they resumed classes after lunch. And all of their lessons were given right straight out of the Bible. Robert Raikes was rejected. His ideas and his idea of Sunday school was rejected by most of the churches of his day. There was only one national man that stood with him. His name was Jonathan Wesley. Robert Raikes, he died in 1811. And when he died, there were over 400,000 people enrolled in Sunday school. The awful hardships that were placed on children moved this man, Robert Raikes, to action. My friend, fear is not the only thing that can move us. But you know what? It is a good motivator. Man, if you want to follow the example of Christ and get moved by compassion, then praise God, do it. But get moved. Something has to come along that's going to move us from inactivity to activity. Something has to come along that's going to move us, that's going to impel us from apathy to aggressiveness, from lethargy to love, from a pew sitter to an altar worker, from comfort to combat, from laziness to liveliness, from zero to zealous. I'm telling you, something has got to come along that is going to bear us, that's going to take us to a place different from where we are right now. Something has got to come along that's going to carry us from ease to involvedness. I think about that old song, "Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sail through bloody seas." Then he goes on to say, "No, I must fight if I should win. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by Thy Word." The question is tonight, can believers be moved today? Can the church be moved today? Man, we're almost reproducing an easy chair Christianity. And I'm telling you, easy chair Christians are never a threat to the devil or hell. They never are. We need God's people to move. The Bible says Noah was moved with fear. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. He had never seen rain before, but God said it was coming. God told him what to do about it. And the Bible says he was moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Fear is a wonderful, wonderful motivator. When he was moved, when moved with fear, the Bible says Noah prepared an ark to the saving of his house. So, Noah was influenced by the dread of what was coming. That's what it was. He believed what God said. There's coming a worldwide catastrophic flood. Everything's going to die that's not in the ark. Here's how you do it. Here's how you build it. Now get to it. And Noah had a fear. He knew what was coming because he believed what God said. And my friend, do you believe what's coming? If we believe what's coming, it ought to move us. The Bible says Noah moved with fear, prepared an ark. If we believe that we know what's coming, then it ought to move us to tell people about the Lord Jesus. It ought to move us to win the children. It ought to move us to win the teenagers. It ought to move us to win the college and career. It ought to move us to win the middle age. It ought to move us to do something. The Bible says Noah was moved with fear. He knew what was coming, the dread of what was coming. So you see, the fear of God's judgment, I believe it could move us to witness to our world. It can move us to witness to our world of the saving grace of God from the coming judgment. Fear is an amazing thing. I remember when I was a boy, I must have been about 9 or 10 years old. And my dad was bragging on me to my uncle. I was born and raised in the suburbs of Dallas, Texas. And then we moved out to the country for a few years. Had a farm there that my dad had bought, just a beautiful hobby farm. But living in the suburbs there, we lived on Harvest Road and my cousins lived on Iris Drive. And my dad was bragging to my uncle saying that I wasn't afraid, that it didn't matter any time of the night. He said he could send me over to Uncle Joe's house to get a wrench or a tool, and he's not afraid to do it. And I heard my dad bragging on me that I wasn't afraid to do it. Now, what my dad didn't know was I scared to death. I didn't like walking between those houses. Man, sometimes there was mean dogs and stuff like that, and man, I hated walking between those houses in the dark. And my dad, I remember my dad said, my boy's not afraid. Man, I'm over there thinking, oh, Dad, you just don't know how afraid I am. There's all kinds of weird, wild creatures in the dark. Amen? And my dad said, you watch and see. He said, son, and I don't remember exactly, something like, son, I want you to go over to your Uncle Joe's house. I need a boxed-in 9/16 wrench. I need it. And man, I took off. And I'm telling you what, you're talking about running. Now, I wasn't running fast because I loved to run. I was running fast because I felt like it'd be harder for the booger man to get me that way. And I'd run between them houses and run back. Here, Dad. Well, my dad said, see there? My boy ain't afraid. Boy, did I have him fooled. Amen? I was. It's amazing what fear will make you do. And the Bible says Noah, when he was moved with fear because of the dread of what was coming, it moved him to prepare an ark. Now, friend, God has given us time. We got friends and loved ones. Amen. I mean, it's time to witness. It's time to pass out tracts. It's time to pray. We know what's coming. The dread of what was coming moved Noah. It moved him to prepare an ark. Now, what is amazing about this story here, it moved him to soul winning. And number two, it moved him to separation. He was moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. And then the Bible says, and then he condemned the world. And friend, I'm telling you what, if you're never willing to condemn the world, you're not going to know what it's like to live a separated life unto God. Now, we don't just get separate ourselves unto God from the world just to do it. We separate from the world so that we can give our attention to God. Amen. That's why we do it. We're not just separated from the world. If all we do is just separated from the world and we don't get closer to God, then we will become Pharisees. Right. We'll become very Pharisaical and look down our noses. We don't separate from the world just to do that. We separate from the world so that we can give our affection and our love and our passion to God. And when Noah, when he was moved with fear, he prepared an ark to the saving of his house. And the Bible says he condemned the world. He said no to the influence of the world, to his life, and to the life of his children. What do you think Noah had to say? Hey, boys, don't worry about what those kids are saying about you. Don't worry about that. I know that they think that we're crazy and they think that I'm crazy. I understand that. Son, that's not true. God has told us to do this. And you know what? Just because you're in church on Sunday night, there are a lot of people say, man, are you a fanatic? Sunday night? Wednesday night? What? Visitation? Oh, you are taking this Christianity a little bit too far. What do you mean? You go to the gym on Monday night? And Tuesday night? And Wednesday night? And I think you're taking that exercise a little bit too far. Now, hey, wait a minute. It's amazing how people justify what they want. Amen? Hey, I think you're taking that Christianity a little bit too far. What do you mean? Go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, visitation, soul winning? Well, what do you do? Well, I bowl on this night, and I bowl on this night, and I bowl on this night.
Hey, I think you're getting a little bit too fanatical about your bowling. Hey, don't start preaching to me now.
We just have to be willing to condemn the world. Now, folks, somebody say amen real quick when you get quiet, 30 minutes longer. Say amen and we can move on. Amen? Thank you. All right. Good. I appreciate the solo, brother. Amen. You see, Noah was moved with fear. And it promoted, it provoked him, it moved him, it impelled him to prepare an ark for the saving of his house. And it caused him to condemn the world. Oh my, boy, we need to have a whole generation of people say no to the influence of this world. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. You know, somebody ought to put a tune to those words. That'd make a good song, wouldn't it? Amen. And if you don't know, it is a song. Amen. But I've spared you. I'm not going to sing it. Maybe our Blackwood Brothers will sing it for you next week. Amen. The young up-and-coming trio out of Bucyrus, Ohio, that's hitting the tour. All right? We're talking about being moved. Moved with fear. What did he do? The Bible says he prepared an ark to the saving of his house. And then the Bible says he became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. It wasn't based on his works. The righteousness was based on faith. The righteousness which is by faith. It was faith or confidence in God that was the ground of his justification. The Scriptures teach us that if it is only by faith that men can be saved. Remember when Katrina took place back in late August? I guess it was about 1,300 people died in the destruction of Hurricane Katrina. Most of them died because they didn't heed the warning of the National Weather Association. Most of those 1,300 people died because they just didn't heed the warning. Now, there were 400,000 people had to be evacuated at a tremendous cost to the government because they didn't heed the warning. But in others that were moved with fear, did as they were told to do, as they were advised to do, and they got out safely and didn't cost anybody any money except the money they had in their evacuation. I'm going to tell you, my friend, fear is a great motivator. Fear. General William Booth, he is the founder of the Salvation Army. You know those little red buckets that you put money in? Amen. What in the world would Christmas time be without hearing the dings of the Salvation Army buckets? Unless all you have is Target in town to shop at, you know, then they just don't want them around. Well, I knew I shouldn't have looked at that and got on that. I'm on it again. Amen. I'm sorry. I have a hard time with that stuff. It don't leave me. I'm still eating Freedom Toast and Freedom Fries and all that stuff. Amen. But anyway, old General William Booth, he was the founder of the Salvation Army. He was moved to reach out to the hurting. And this is what he said. Now, I'm using this as an illustration. Compassion is a wonderful motivator. But you know what? Very few people, I think, really ever get motivated by compassion. That's the Christ way to be motivated. Compassion. But when we all of a sudden feel like it's coming and I know something and I've got to tell, that's the fear factor. And that gets a lot of work done. But listen to this man here's compassion. This is what he said. While women weep as they do now, I'll fight. While children go hungry as they do now, I'll fight. While men go to prison, in and out, as they do now, I'll fight. While there is a drunkard left, while there is a poor, lost girl upon the streets, while there remains one dark soul without the light of eternity, the light of God, I'll fight. I'll fight to the very end. I'll fight. Lift up your head, friends. Look on the fields. They're white, all ready to harvest. You want to get motivated that way? We have plenty of examples. But I think what we're looking at right now is we know what's about to come. Noah was moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, and condemned the world. And I guarantee you, if we just started what we talked about this morning, believing what we know, what's about to take place, it could move many, many people from inactivity to activity, from comfort to combat, from a pew sitter to an altar worker. Let's get moved. Search your heart. Let's stand together, shall we?